Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're in Vegas at the MGM for tomorrow night's Welterweight Championship. Pacquiao Thurman on pay-per-view, Fox pay-per-view. Call your cable operator from the Grand Garden Arena at the MGM in Sin City to Mega the Hub. It's going to be incredible. Make sure you order the fight. And our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Tons of baseball, boxing, UFC. All the best picks are at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Every play, every game, every day, everything on the board. Sign up. You'll love it. It's cheap. Buck a day, son. And you're going to dig it when I start hitting winners and everybody's got fat stacks. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Football's right around the corner doing push-ups. Sign up today. I don't know if you found that other one or if he sent me something. I don't know.
He's going to give it to me.
All right.
It's my fault.
I'm irresponsible. I got an idea. I've always wanted to get our boy, the gentleman, the great white hope, Mr. Cooney, on the bench. Now we have the luxury of having him on tonight's show. How about it? The big fella. All right, Pharrell, chilling the most with the gentleman, Jerry, my big man. Look who he is. Hey, tell him. Cooney's in here rocking it, trying to get me to do the steps.
Wow, I'm talking about getting it right, bro. And listen,
so
you
how many times do you think I've done the steps?
Well, from talking to you,
You never once came out of retirement in the 31 years.
Yeah, I did. Someone told me when I had 3 months, you better be careful because when you get 5 or 6 months, you're going to drink again. I said, are you crazy? As I was going to 2 meetings a day, right? 5 or 6 months, I went out for 2 months, the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
And the guy told me, Jack B. from New York, one of my bodyguards, I stopped at a pancake house. He went and said, Jerry, listen, I have 3 years today. You never have to drink again. That was April 21st, 1988. I went to work. I got to look at those things that were bothering me. The shadows, the skeletons I had, I got them out in the sunlight, looked at them, and made them go away.
So did you, it really is incredible, but when you partied, when you drank, because I drank like a British sailor.
Can I say something?
I mean, to tell you, like, I honestly, there's people telling stories. Is that that damn train again rolling through here to yell? What is that? Is that the 7 train out to Queens? Is that the most painful thing in the world? That damn train. When you party, what were you like?
I got a feeling I was a little bit like you. Probably worse, but I had a great time. Listen, it was, we moved around, traveled the world. Had a lot of laughs, kissed the girls, hugged the babies. We had a great life. It was a great life. I just ran away from me. The night I knocked out Ken Norton in 54 seconds was the night my career really ended. That night I started messing around with recreational drugs and started drinking heavily. And 13 months later, I fought Holmes.
Recreational drugs as in Sheba.
Whatever it was no good. It was no good. It was no good. It made me want to keep the blinds
down.
But it was
fun.
No sunlight. Darkness.
A Fed swinging from ropes.
I don't know about that.
I was at that level.
Oh, man. Well, you were bad then. But listen.
I had them. They were on the roof. They were underground.
But you were just thinking. You were thinking it.
Paranoid. The whole deal was awful. So I did it when my son was born. I quit drinking, and I had drank for 30 years and smoked for 30 years, and as you like to say, recreationally worked out.
Recreationally wrecked your life.
Yeah, so I stopped when I had my son because one day he said, so he had already been alive. He was a little kid. He was like 5 or 6, and he goes, my wife said, what are you going to do today? And then he was walking out with her, and he goes, going to sit on the couch all day and watch football and drink like he always does. And that was the last day I ever drank.
Isn't that a great feeling, you know,
well,
for me?
I came out of retirement in the Caribbean one day when I got fired from TV, and my agent said I was going to get fired from radio the same week. And I went Heineken, and I drank about 12 of them in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then I hit the rum. And then it was a two-year slide down the mountain, and I got back on the horse and never drank again.
Yeah, you know what? I went out back out to test the waters again for 2 months, found that it didn't get any better, and I was just losing my life. And I finally got a hold, and someone who helped me showed me the way, and it's been a gift.
Let me ask you, Jerry, how do you, because when I go out, right, so I go out all the time with all these drunks, and they just party and wail and drinking tequila and their beers and everything, and I'm out with them. And I don't want to sit there and watch him drink. And I know I had these fights and things of this nature. And I'm sitting there drinking water and ginger ale till I got a headache, so much sugar. What do you do in those circumstances when everybody around you is getting sauced and you're sitting there drinking water and tea?
Let me tell you something.
Does that fem you out a little? Because it bothers me.
Well, when you have a good foundation and you work the steps, you attract a different kind of people that are not those kind of people, because that sound doesn't work for you anymore.
So you don't even want to be around them.
Let me tell you something. When I first came around these rooms, you know, what I was attracted to was a crazy person. They were beautiful, looked pretty. When the dust settled, they were nuts. As I grew up in the rooms and put distance between me and the alcohol, I grew up, my life changed. I wanted more. I wanted something different. I wanted to enjoy life.
I get it. I'm with you. I'm with you on all of that. But my question is, how do you deal with when you're not around all these safe harbors?
So
you're telling me you never go to these fights and everybody's drinking around you?
You just
won't associate.
I don't notice people drinking anymore. If I see someone that's sloshed and drinking too much, I grab him by the arm and say, listen, kid, come on. Here's the number. Give me a call. I'd like for you to come to a meeting with me. That's all.
Oh, so you're saving
help.
People.
That's our job. No, that's our job.
I know
to
that.
Help people find the direction to get
find
back on track
way.
And have a great life.
I'm with you on that. I'm not Mr. I haven't gone out.
Looking.
Okay, Carver High. Come here. How is my saving you gone with your, like, he's unsavable. My boy over here, he goes out and buys the cheap beers down the street so he doesn't have to roll with the MGM 10 a can.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is. You do what you can to help me out in other ways, so.
Yeah, but listen. I've never once encouraged you to stop drinking. In fact, I encourage you to drink more.
Yeah, you wanted me to bring beers in here last night while we were doing the show.
Yeah. I wanted him to drink tequila shots till 4 in the morning. Because I knew that I'd wake up early, work out, have a nice breakfast, get some phone calls in, some meetings. I get it all done, Jerry. The drunks are always burping and rolling over for another hour.
Yeah, but you know, all the stuff you have told him through the years to help him take a look at that one day, he'll say, you know, I'm tired of this. This is not working for me anymore. I like to have a nice woman. I like to have a good life. I'd like to have a home.
Does he look like the kind of guy, honestly?
Well, not really.
I mean, honestly, Jerry.
No, he does.
So, let me ask you, when you wrote the book,
yeah,
and everyone started reading all that stuff, was it fulfilling for you and gratifying? Did you find joy in that you wrote the book about that as opposed to just writing about your great boxing career?
It's a great...
Like, does the other stuff mean more to you? It seems like it does.
Listen, it's a great story that, you know, that I fell down and got up, went about my day. Next day I got up, got dressed, and walked down the street. I fell in the hole again and again. And finally I found a different way, and I found a great life. And so the rags to riches, to falling down, to getting up, dusting off my pants, and moving on, there's a victory there. And there's a great life plan. I have children, 3 children, that have never seen me drink. I have a great wife that I love. I can't wait to go home to.
Does she not drink either?
She can drink a half a glass of wine.
No problem.
A glass of wine, no problem.
But you couldn't. Like, I can't drink.
No, I got a taste. One taste, I want the whole thing.
I drink the whole bottle of Jameson, and then I go on a run. It's all bad. Let me ask you this question. So, when you, your kids never saw you drink ever, so they just think you're just the greatest, because you are the happiest, nicest guy ever that I've ever met in boxing. And do you find that shocking at all? Were you ever that nice when you were knocking people's teeth out?
Yeah, this is who I am. I really came from a very difficult background, and I struggled a lot understanding what was going on in my house. I had to hide in the basement most of my childhood. It's all in the book. And so my thing is, if I can help somebody along the path, My children, maybe they drink a little bit once in a while. I tell them about my story and what happened, and it's dangerous. If I had the disease, they might have.
Do you still go to meetings?
Of course I go. I go and share meetings and talk about life, and I give on speaking commitments. I do all the same stuff. Yeah, nothing changes. I have a great life.
And so, how do you feel? You said you had back surgery the other day. Do you do that whole thing with no meds?
Not no meds. I mean, obviously, I had a spine surgery, back surgery, where they had a cyst on my fourth and fifth vertebrae. They had to take it out and clean off the bone. So it's a little bit painful for a few days. But
Is that still lingering stuff from boxing?
Could be. It could be from I work hard. I love to work around the house. You know, it's just you wear and tear. You know, not normally. I threw hooks all my life. The vertebrae is
already now 35.
35. I'm 31 years sober. I'm 62 years young, and I'll tell you what, I'm just starting.
I'm 54.
You're beautiful, bro.
It's crazy, right? I think it's fascinating what you've been through. Tell me about where did you stop? Where were you when you stopped? Like you said, you had just you laid it down or whatever. Where were you in life? Living? Where did that all happen?
Oh, I mean, listen, my life never changed.
But I mean, where were you physically? What city?
I was in New York, Long Island. I was going to my office in Garden City, and I stopped at the Pancake House, which I don't know why I did. This friend of mine, Jack B. from New York, was there, and he said, "Jerry, sit down with me." He was a big, tough guy. He was a bodyguard of mine in my heyday. And he talked to me a little bit about it. He said, "I have 3 years today. I haven't had a drink in 3 years or anything in 3 years." He said, "You never have to drink again." Now, I heard that 1,000 times, but I hadn't heard it like he said it. And that was April 21st, 1988. And I said, you know what?
Did he become your sponsor?
For a little while he did. You know, you bounce around. I needed someone to help me really work on cleaning out the records
of
my past.
Stuff.
Yeah.
What is the fourth step? Is the one that takes the longest?
Well, you know,
That's the evaluation of your miserable life.
Well, no. First step, you write out an autobiography. And then the fourth step, you write out about your life, your defects, and you really start to look at yourself.
It's very tough for me, Jerry. As you know, I have so few defects and so few sins.
Let me sit with you for a while, bro. Let me get with you for a little while, bro.
I've just been so perfect for so long. It's so hard for me to, like, not go to the pool and score, like, 20 chicks within an hour.
Well, you know what? Those days are over for me.
Come on, you're a liar.
And no, I'm not. I've been faithful to my wife for 27 years, and I love it.
I'm the biggest wuss ever. I've never cheated on her, ever. No girlfriend either.
Me either.
They all want me still. They all stalk me.
I can't wait to get home when I come home.
So where did you meet her when...
On the phone. I met my wife on the phone. A buddy of mine got a job at an accounting firm. My wife is a financial major. He put me on the phone. I said hello. I said, "When we come back to New York, go to lunch." A couple months later, I came home, we went to lunch. I walked down the street that day holding her hand.
Boom.
That was it.
So let's talk about the fight. I think that Pacquiao has too much smarts, too much experience, too dangerous in 12 rounds, can throw hands with anybody. And I actually believe at 40, he's a better physical specimen than the kid Thurman. I got to tell you, that's straight up. And Freddie thinks so too. I said that before I interviewed Freddie, that I thought this kid is very good, Thurman, I know that. But he's dealing with a dangerous, on the other side. Pacquiao is very dangerous.
Well, Pacquiao is so elusive and awkward and difficult to get a hold of. He changes his plan. He can change a plan in the middle of a round. He's got a great corner. Listen, Thurman's two-time world champion. He's undefeated. He's never tasted defeat before. So we're going to see a great fight from him, too. I think Manny Pacquiao's going to get to his body. He's a more of a complete guy. He's awkward. He throws punches from different angles. Thurman's going to have a hard time dealing with that unless he's done his own work. And I think right now, me looking at it, I think that Manny Pacquiao has a better corner than Keith Thurman does, even though Keith Thurman's guy's been around him for a while. Listen, I love the two guys. I love the fight. That's why I'm here. It's a pick'em fight, 50-50 fight to me.
I agree.
And I'm so excited that we're going to get one of those fights instead of a Pacquiao Mayweather. This is a fight that everyone's
going to... You and I were at Pacquiao Broner. I thought it was awful.
Pacquiao Mayweather, you think, right?
No, that was the worst fight I ever saw. But when he fought Broner a few months ago, we were there. I had more fun fighting with my wife on the phone.
Well, yeah, you know, Broner fights like 30 seconds a round. He was trying to survive. You know, in order to look good, you got to fight back. And Manny Pacquiao couldn't look good because Broner was like playing that slick game.
Are you surprised, Jerry Cooney, what a legend, do you find any surprise at all that he's still doing this at 40, as sharp as he is?
You know, I think he has a love for the Philippines. from what I understand, thousands and thousands of people are on the streets when he leaves his house every day, and he's giving them money. Listen, here's a story. You give a man a fish, you teach him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for life. He's got to get that. And he loves this game still, I think. He's motivated. He doesn't, listen, the winner moves on. The loser goes home. So Manny Pacquiao, in order for him to go on, he's got to win this fight tonight.
Do you think that he'll call out Mayweather and it'll have any effect at all on Floyd to fight again?
I don't think. I think he wants to fight Terrence Crawford, or the winner of Terrence Crawford. Gosh, what's the kid's name? Errol Spence.
Yeah, well, both of those guys are super
the beast.
Dangerous.
They're two great fighters. I think Errol Spence is a complete welterweight, real welterweight.
We were at that fight. He kicked Mikey's ass.
Unbelievable. He just couldn't do anything with him.
Did you like that scene in Dallas? You liked the fights there?
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed. I wish he was going to have a better fight, but he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything with Errol Spence. Couldn't do anything. Errol Spence opened up on him, and listen, to his favor, he fought back, he kept fighting back, Mikey Garcia did, but he's too big of a, Errol Spence
is
too big.
I still think Mikey's a great fighter.
He is, at 140, 135.
He was too big.
He should have fought Lomachenko first, and then moved up to fight Errol Spence, if that would have happened.
So how's the show going?
Listen, we're having a great time. We're talking, what I love best is boxing, and we're talking about the game. I know all the fighters, I know how to break down the styles. And 99.9% of the time, I'm right. And this is one of those fights that's still like a pick 'em fight for me. I'm starting to lean towards...
Do you think you and I have done this longer than everybody in these rooms? Like, honestly, we've been coming to these fights for so long. I told someone today, I feel like I'm the godfather of this thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we've been in the game. I've been in the game for 45 years now. I mean, it's been a long time. So, listen, I love it. Boxing is getting really good again. For a while, it sucked. Now it's getting strong again. I'm excited to be a part of it and to talk about it every day.
Well, so the book hit the shelves when?
3 weeks ago.
Is it rocking? Already New York Times bestseller.
No, rocking good. BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. You can get it in your local bookstores. It's a great read, and it's about a success story, about people struggle in life, but what do you do with that? Do you pick up your pants and move on and get the information to turn the page and get on with your life? That's what I did, and that's what the story in the book's about.
I love you. It's always good to see you. Yeah.
Love you too, brother. Thank you.
Man. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Thank you, baby.
Jerry Cooney, a gentleman, a scholar, a leader of men, 31 years off of the sauce, and he still wants to punch Pharrell in the gut. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Carver Hyde told me, he warned me, he said, don't go out to the bathroom. It's pitch black.
Well, everything's shutting off. I mean, the lights are off in the bathroom. The Wi-Fi's gone.
So I went to the bathroom, and I missed.
Yeah, and you have yourself a situation over there.
So I actually went to the bathroom on myself.
Correct.
And I literally am soaking wet right now. My entire my new Calvin Kleins are drenched in my own action. I missed the whole toilet, and it just completely went off of the wall and back on my entire pant leg, up in my let's just say region. It is awful. I think when the show is over, I may have to reverb up and change underwear when I go to the room, because I've had an accident.
Yeah, you're going to need to do that.
I knew something was wrong. I felt cold and damp. Actually, warm and damp. And I looked, and there was a major snafu, major problem in my trousers.
Can't have it.
Not good. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Tell me about Mike Leek.
Yes, Mike Sticky Fingers Leek, who last Friday against the Angels, of course, didn't get out of the first inning, and the Angels ended up throwing a no-hitter. He has a perfect game.
What?
In the eighth right now. So, Moff, he's going to the ninth. Is he through eight?
He is through eight, yes. There's in the bottom of the eighth right now with the Angels throwing. So he's sitting
on
the bench.
It's 10-0 Seattle.
So these two teams last Friday night, same two teams. Angels get the no-hitter. That was the night, of course, that Tyler Skaggs.
Can you imagine if they throw it?
Now the Mariners look to return the favor, this time with the perfect game here tonight in Seattle.
So
that's it?
Yeah, only thrown 76 so far. Greg Cassara just alerted me to that.
Angels mailing it in, huh?
So do you think, are you going to take that bet? Oh, I see the Angels got rid of Matt Harvey today.
That's right. The Dark Knight has fallen out in L.A.
The Dark Knight's days are numbered.
What a fall from grace for him.
Oh, my God.
Remember when he was the king of New
York? He was
the man. I mean, it was just...
Short-lived.
And it was two things. It started with the injuries, and it also combined the injuries with he liked the other 9-to-5.
Right.
You know what 9-to-5 I'm talking about. The 9-to-5 that I like. He liked the other 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And that was his problem, along with, you know, you've told the story, the Liberty National story, all that.
Yeah.
You know, he liked the other 9-to-5. But I think the injuries was also...
So he just liked to party.
Right.
I think that...
But the injuries were the clear downfall.
All right, let's go to... we'll keep an eye on Mike Leake and see if he throws the perfect game. Now that we've mentioned it, he'll probably give up a hit the first batter. Nick in Pittsburgh, call the show, you femmes. I got the rest of the show for you. And tell me who you like in Pacquiao Thurman. 855-212-4227. Nick in Pittsburgh on the fan.
How's it going, Scott?
Hey.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the fights. I'll be watching. Just a couple few things. You know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I don't know if you catch the Pirates game tonight. I mean, this is depressing. With this ownership, nothing's going to change. And, you know, their reunion on Saturday, the 1979 reunion is the last time they won the World Series. And,
right.
You know, I just don't feel like there's no hope for the Pirates. It's like,
I went to that World Series.
You went to that World Series?
Of course I did. I'm old. I went to that World Series. And even when 71, when they beat the Orioles, I was 6 years old when that happened. But I went to the 79 World Series with my dad and... Yeah, I love that team. I'll never forget down 3-1 that they beat the Orioles. It was unbelievable. And they won Game 7 on the road in Baltimore.
Our closer.
Well, this is going well. Anyway, what else do you got for me, Nick?
I was going to ask you about the NFL season coming up. What team do you think could be a dark horse in the NFL this year?
Carver High, I'll leave you with that one. Who's a dark horse to cause damage in the NFL? And, that's just overwhelming for me right now.
It's overwhelming.
It's just overwhelming. I'm sitting here at this
as
fight.
As we get ready a couple of weeks from camp here, I guess somebody who wasn't very good last year, I don't know, off the top of my head, who wasn't that great last year that hopefully is going to be better. You know what? I'm going to give you... Does Carolina being 7-9? I think that they might be okay if Cam's healthy. Dark horse to do what? Are you talking to make the playoffs, to win the Super Bowl? What kind of dark? I mean, there's so many different layers.
Okay, I'll tell you my dark horse. Right now, I've come up with my dark horse in the NFL. It's the Jets, and I think that they are notoriously terrible. They have been an anemic monstrosity of disaster over the years. But I honestly, and I've said this before on the show, so hear me loud and clear, Darnold is going to get better. I really believe he's got a great arm. I think he's kind of stupid. I do not believe he makes smart throws. That's why he gets picked off so much. I think he doesn't think about what he's doing. He looks like the same guy that played at USC with some of his bad throws. I think that's going to dissipate. I think they have some of the best receivers, believe it or not, that they've had in a long time. I think they have quality receivers, Anderson and company, on that team. I also believe Le'Veon Bell is going to come up huge for them after a year off. He's going to be fresh and dangerous, particularly catching the ball underneath. And then lastly, I think Quinnen Williams is going to give them a sickening pass rush, and I think their defense is going to get better. I'm going to say in an upset, dark horse, that the Jets get a wild card this year.
And here's another thing to think about with the Jets. First year for Adam Gase, and this is, Mafia can back me up here. Like, it seems like whenever the Jets hire a new coach, the first season of that coach
goes well.
They do really well. Now, even though Bowles was awful, the first year he won 10 games, but they missed the playoffs, not winning that game in Buffalo.
Right.
You go to Rex, you go to Mangini, you go to Herm. Their first seasons, they always seem to have really good years.
All right, so we'll send it back to New York. We'll come back and take your calls. Call the show now. If you want to get on the bench, now's the time to do it. Hint, hint. Call now, 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So we're back in Vegas for Pacquiao Thurman from the MGM Grand Garden Arena tomorrow night on Fox Pay-Per-View. Order the fight with your cable operator. Carver High, what happened with your boy Sticky Fingers?
Mike Sticky Fingers leak, lost the perfect game, lost the no-hitter, lost it all. First batter.
Watch the first guy up. We'll get a hit after I mentioned it.
How about your boy going sure to the Coney Island Dogs here. A little Nathan's for the fellas here. Look at this. Wow.
Strong effort.
Wow. A little Coney Island action. That's how you do it.
So with some missiles.
Yeah.
We call those rear end missiles.
That's right.
Backdoor missiles.
Yep.
Those are M80s. Those Nathan's hot dogs. I tell you, every time I think of that place, I think of those dudes with them wet buns on the July 4th. It makes me sick to my stomach.
We've talked about them plenty in the
We're sick of them. Dave in Maryland, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty, how you doing tonight?
What's up, bro?
I need a shot and a beer. How's that?
Shot and a beer, in but an iron, shot and a beer, in but an iron, shot and a beer, puke.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. I just listened to your Jerry Quarry interview. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and man, he was the great white hope. And I'll tell you what, that was a great interview.
What's even better is that you just called him Jerry Quarry. And in the middle of the interview, at the beginning of the interview today, I almost called him Jerry Quarry. Meanwhile, I've been friends with Jerry Cooney forever, and I still almost butchered it like you did.
I'm sorry, but I'll tell you what, man, that was a good interview. I was glad to hear that he's first of all still with us. And you know, good interview. I'm nominating you for Marconi. There you go.
I never get any awards ever in radio, ever. Oh, wait, I did get an award last year. The show did. We got rated one of the best shows in the country.
Number 20.
Number 20. That's the same thing as being number 6.
There's really no difference between 2 and 20.
There really isn't. Well, I told you I don't have many friends in the industry.
It's good to be recognized, Scott. So
listen, all those critics and you know, genius programmers and media insiders, what a bunch of femmes. Honestly. It's like, dude, I'll beat your face.
And now we're back to 21.
Wussy. You're such a wussy. I was 21 2 years in a row. They kept me on the outside looking in. Then we finally broke through. Are you kidding me? We should be number one, bar none. We're badasses. We're better. We're thicker, quicker, yelling, screaming, spitting, laughing, hurling, talking, shot of beer, and banana, shot of beer, and banana, shot of beer, hammer, 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 well, I'm gonna hit, but I gouge. Sean in Hamilton, Ontario.
Well, how are you?
Hey, Sean.
I just say, like your previous caller, I just wanted to compliment you. I am a friend of Bill Wilson, and it is refreshing that you would take the time and the energy and the insight to discuss a topic on mainstream radio that really doesn't get a lot of discussion, especially on, you know, sports radio. But it is an active, valid, disturbing part of life that we get lost in our consumptions. And I just, like the previous caller, I wanted to say that kudos to you. And here's the thing. How can you not be the number one show on the radio? I mean, were you displaced by the housewives of wherever or something?
Like I said, I'll tell you a story, a funny story. So 1 year, they put me on this, you know, I'm just not even going to say the name of it because it'll stir it all up again. They get real sensitive when I mention it. But, and believe me, they can't stand me. So this magazine comes out with their list of the best hosts in radio. So, like, going back to, like, in the 90s when I was on Pharrell on a Bench, the Phase 1, and the first time I did Pharrell on a Bench on Westwood One and Infinity and CBS – with, like, Howard Stern and everything. I was on syndicated with all the same stations that he was on. And the show was gigantic. And I was the first nationally syndicated radio sports talk show host ever. And I was on everywhere. New York, The Fan, you name it. And KLSX Los Angeles. And that's all that matters. I was on the two biggest stations in the country. And They rated me the number two host in radio. And I went on the air and I said, oh, there's nothing quite like being ranked number two on a in a magazine no one reads. I said, yeah, nothing like being rated by some magazine no one's ever heard of or that no one reads. And then from that day forward, I swear to God, they've never acknowledged that I even am on the radio. Like, they wrote me off. I couldn't get rated as a good show, even though, I mean, let's just face facts. I mean, I kick everyone else right in the onions. My show's so badass, it's not even funny. And then they just refuse to acknowledge me. Everybody's going in the Hall of Fame. Everybody's a genius. Everybody's just the greatest thing ever. I've been syndicated nationally for 25 years in hundreds and thousands of radio stations, making everybody tons of money. That's what's, you know, that's what matters. You know what the other thing is? A popularity contest of who's the best friends of the guy that writes the article. So they don't like me. They've never liked me. They've never written good about me. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the devil, and everything else. So I don't really care what anybody thinks of me. But I will say this. As far as the other thing goes, Sean, talking about his sobriety and everything, you know, I've talked a lot about it over the years on my show about people struggling with addictions and alcoholism and drugs and everything. And I also believe that there's certain things that everyone in their life is entitled to at one point or another, and that's in dealing with cancer or addiction is, I believe, automatic. There's no one alive that hasn't been touched by one or the other. It's impossible. I mean, cancer or addiction, drugs, alcohol, I don't know anyone that hasn't had something of that ilk in their life. So at some point or another, you're going to have to deal with it. The other thing is death. You know, people don't – I told you this stuff about when my dad died. Like, you're going to have to deal with it when your parents get old or somebody gets super old or sick. There's nothing worse. And if you're not prepared for that, you know, you better get prepared because it's coming. And trust me, it'll happen to everybody. But I've never met anyone in my life that hasn't had somebody that they know with cancer or addiction. So I've talked about addiction on my show for a million years and a million times, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. I thought it was cool hearing Jerry Cooney talk about being sober for 31 years. That's a hell of a run. Did you notice? I told him I hadn't drank in, 8 or 9 years? And he's like, you're soft. I've actually never had anyone say to me that, you know, you had an 8 or 9 year run, no drinks, and they're like, it's just not good enough. You're a wussy. You're not worthy.
Jeez, well, that was because when you told him that you went out of you came out of retirement, he didn't like that.
He didn't like that I came out of retirement for 2 years for the 185-pound Heineken belt. He didn't like that. He didn't like that I failed. And by the way, I just want you to know, Jerry, I've seen Jerry 50 times over the years. Every time I see him, he punches me. Who does that? Like, I told him, I quit punching me, dude.
Gave you a rib shot.
God, he punched me one day in the liver so hard, honestly, I couldn't cable for a week. I'm not even kidding. The guy always punches me. You notice that?
Yeah.
And he's always like, let's go. Let's do it. He wants to fight me for some reason. So today we went back and forth on Twitter, and I called him that I was quicker than him and everything else. And then he said I'm a comedian. He said, you're like a comedian talking about fighting me. And you're quicker than me and everything else. You're like a stand-up comic. You're so funny. Because Jerry Cooney would destroy me. Have you seen him, like, when he's got his entire rack of teeth have been knocked out of his mouth? Yes. He has the entire thing is fake.
And he's got some,
every tooth is fake.
He's got some big bear claws.
I mean, he's got some... Oh, the hands on him.
Yeah.
Jesus. Have you ever seen him, like... If you ever watch Jerry with anyone, he always gives him that shot to the belly when he's done talking to you. Hey, good to see you. Oh, good to see you, too, Jerry. Or he gets you low in the liver, and you're like, hoo, hoo, good to see you, Jerry, hoo. Like a little shot down there in the old hoo you to you. And if you had enough pills, that thing's swollen to begin with. Carver High, obviously having a blast tonight with the show content. We had a little meeting before about me having to go to the bathroom. Did not go over well with corporate headquarters. They don't like hearing about my trips to the header. on the show. These things happen. Zach in Seattle. Zach!
Like a shot of whatever. Hey, can you hear me?
I got you, brother. Good luck.
Hey, with all this talk of alcohol, can I have a shot of whatever Carver High's having?
Shot of beer, shot of beer.
Yeah, and I got Pacquiao for the fight, mostly just because I remember that one punch, great fight, like just instilled his invincibility in my brain, even though it's fake. I really do think boxing should fix this, give him the win, and I'm kind of weird with this. I want to see another Mayweather Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, because the first one was the worst fight in history. Let's see it again.
It's going to happen.
He was injured.
Oh God, I don't want to hear it.
That doesn't matter if he was injured.
I don't
want to
hear it.
If you fought, if you stood in the ring and you fought, you weren't injured.
Yeah, if you walked into the ring, is there anything?
It's not hurt.
All right, listen, Zach, you're right. Thanks for calling. Here's the deal. If you walk into the arena and get in that ring. And then when it's over and you talk about being injured for a year, you are an absolute wuss bag. I don't care who you are. There's nothing worse than a guy that gets his ass beat who talks about he had a torn labrum the whole night. You know what? I got a torn satchel. How's that sound? Here, press this button. Ooh, sorry. Pull my finger. Ooh.
They are going to fight again.
I mean, come on. Shut up. Yeah, he's going to win tomorrow night, Pacquiao. Then he's going to call out Floyd. Floyd's going to smile and wave to everyone and then tell everyone how much money he has. 855-212-4227. If you don't call the show, I hate you forever!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.